music this morning. Well, we're back in Proverbs again this morning, and if you've been with us, you know that we look at a lot of verses while we've been in this series of messages, all of the Proverbs, and God has just amazed me all over again at how He uses His Word. So many of you have commented about how practical this series has been and how God's Word has just spoken to you, and probably a big part of that is, in this message, I haven't really had to make a lot of commentary, so to speak. We're just letting God's Word speak for itself for the most part, so you need to be ready again to look up a lot of those verses in Proverbs. So go ahead and turn, first of all, to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, that'll be the first verse we look at in a moment. Years ago, there was a very well-known Baptist pastor and evangelist by the name of Bailey Smith. Bailey Smith pastored one of the largest churches in America, and at the same time, for a couple of years, he was elected to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And when you're president of the Southern Baptist Convention, you are automatically invited to speak at a lot of churches, a lot of Bible conferences, a lot of state conventions. So for that year, when he served as president, as well as pastoring such a large church, he was constantly on the road, in and out of the church office. And I heard him tell this story himself years ago. One of those weeks where he kind of flew into the church office just to check on things and then had to turn around and go out of town again and preach in another state and be back for Sunday. While he was in the office, the secretary asked him, and you know, we don't print a bulletin with the order of worship, and if you never grew up with that, you may not be able to relate to this story, but a lot of us grew up in church where, you know, you had your bulletin that had the entire order of worship printed in there. And so the secretary, just doing her job, she asked him, and he was in a hurry. You would have had to have known him. He was, just constantly in motion. And she said, "What are you preaching Sunday? What's your scripture passage so I can put it in the bulletin?" And he said, it's Psalm 14:1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And he was continuing to look through correspondence on his desk before he ran out again. And she said, "Well, what's the title of your sermon so I can put it in the bulletin?" And on his way out the door to the airport, he said, "I don't have one right now. You make up a title for it." So he gets back into town, and it's Sunday morning, and he was sitting up on the platform, you know, just looking out over the congregation as the service was beginning, and he's sitting there, and he opened up his bulletin, looking through it, and he couldn't help but chuckle a little bit. This is what the secretary had put in, you know, all the songs and everything, and then she put, "Sermon by the pastor, what the fool said." She got back at him just a little bit, didn't she? Well, as we've seen, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And all throughout the book of Proverbs, it warns us not to be foolish with our lives. The Hebrew word for fool, let me just give you the definition. It's kind of long, but it's worth listening to. When you see that word fool or foolish in the book of Proverbs, this is the kind of person it's describing. The person who acts foolishly, shamelessly, who lacks moral character. The person who hates, rejects the wisdom of God, and their activities and lifestyle and decisions ignores the wisdom of God. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that Solomon is the human author of Proverbs. He wrote these Proverbs, these wise sayings, to give his son godly counsel. But of course, all of God's Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. These are not just words of wisdom and warning for Solomon's son. They are words of wisdom and warning for all of us to hear and to heed and to live by. So, again, going back to that scripture passage I mentioned from Psalm 14:1 that Bailey Smith preached on, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So maybe we want to ask the question, well, what does a fool believe? And that's the title of this morning's message. Now, for those of you of my generation, you'll get this. This morning's message is what a fool believes. Maybe that reminds you of a famous song from many years ago. What a fool believes. What does a fool believe? Well, let me just get this out of the way right off the bat before we look at some of these scriptures. A fool, and listen, don't take offense at that. It's not my word. This is the person that God considers foolish or a fool. And you don't need to take offense at God. Because he's saying these things, he's using these terms, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He's trying to get our attention, to draw us away from self-destruction, to draw us away from the path that leads to an eternity in hell, and to draw us to himself in that personal relationship through Jesus Christ. So what does a fool believe? A fool believes there is no God. A fool believes there is no sin, no judgment, no accountability to God, no heaven, no hell, no eternity, no salvation through Jesus. The person that the Bible describes as a fool is basically setting up themselves as their own God, their own master. And you would not believe how many times in Scripture God describes the person that he calls a foolish person or a fool. I had to really try to hone down. There are so many verses just in the Proverbs alone. It was hard just to kind of hone them down. And after we look at all these, you're going to think, you hone these down? But I want you to just get the picture of what God's word says. So the person that God describes as foolish is someone, first of all, who is foolish in their mockery of sin. They're foolish in their mockery of sin. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. I don't know how many times, you know, I've heard people say through the years, or maybe even when I've actually been sharing the gospel with someone, someone has actually said the words, I know I'm going to hell and I'm okay with that because all my friends will be there and we'll just have one big party. Are they in for a rude awakening? Hell is anything but one big party. Eternity with Satan, with all the demons of hell and darkness and lake of fire and torment, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth that never, never ends. Foolish in their mockery of sin. Listen, sin is no laughing matter. Can we remember that it is our sin that condemns us to hell? It is our sin as to why Jesus had to die on the cross. And the Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages, the payment, the final outcome of sin, a life of rejecting Jesus Christ, for the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God in hell. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in 1 John 1:8, the Bible says, for if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Foolish in their mockery of sin. But also, they are foolish in their choice of companions. They're foolish in their choice of companions. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And in Proverbs chapter 1, we're not going to look at those verses, but in Proverbs chapter 1, go back and read them sometime. Solomon gives a very descriptive picture of the consequences of having the wrong friends. And how if you don't choose the right kind of friends, they will lead you into sin. They will lead you down the path of destruction. And as we saw a week or two ago, we need to be so careful in choosing our friends and who we spend time with. Because listen, you will become like the people you spend the most time with. That's just a principle of life. You will become like the people you spend the most time with. So I would encourage you to choose wisely. But also, the person that God describes as foolish is foolishly rejects correction. They foolishly reject correction. And as I said, there are many, many proverbs we could have read on some of these points, but Proverbs 17:10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Blows, stripes, lashes. The person that God describes as a fool is a person who foolishly rejects correction. There are other proverbs that basically say, don't waste your time trying to correct a fool. They just stubbornly refuse to see they're wrong. They stubbornly refuse to see they're headed in the wrong direction, that they have the wrong thinking, the wrong beliefs. They are foolish in their rejection of being corrected. But also, fourthly, they are foolish in their finances. Foolish in their finances. Now, you know, Proverbs touches on every area of life. And let me say this. I know that we can all make mistakes in every area of life. I get that. None of us are perfect. And we've probably all made, in this, you know, related to this particular point, we've probably all made financial decisions that we've regretted. We could probably, you know, if I asked for a show of hands, probably every adult hand would go up in the room. I mean, there's been some point in time you probably thought, what was I thinking? Why did we do that? But we're talking about an overall pattern here, okay? They are foolish in their finances. You see, you can base your finances and your financial decisions on the sound principles of God's Word, or you can ignore them at your own risk. God's Word has a lot to say about what you and I are to do and can do and should do with the financial material blessings that God gives us. And we can just waste it all, blow it all, be foolish in it, or make those decisions, as I said, based on the sound principles of God's Word. And listen, when you and I do that, the market may rise and fall, and inflation may come and go. But Jesus said, you seek Him first in His kingdom, in His righteousness, and He'll take care of the rest. That's what Matthew 6:33 is basically saying. And so many promises of God's Word, how He will meet our needs if we will live according to His Word. But the person that God describes fool is also foolish in their hatred and rejection of wisdom and knowledge. They're foolish in their hatred and rejection of God's wisdom. I should have said God's wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1, verse 22. Proverbs 1, verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. The person that God describes as being foolish is the person that rejects the Bible as the Word of God. But also, this person is foolish in his own wisdom. Foolish in his own wisdom. Oh, there were so many we could have looked at here, but just three or four. Proverbs 12, 15. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Is anybody else feeling convicted? Conviction's a good thing. I mean, I'm like, oh, wow. I've done that before. That's me before. Let me read that one again, okay? Maybe you didn't hear it. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. Wow. You know, that just reminds me of a line from a movie about the South, where the old boy in the movie said to his girlfriend, just because I talk slow doesn't mean I'm stupid. In other words, it's wise to think about what you're going to say before you say it, right? But also, this foolish person is foolish in their uncontrolled anger. Foolish in their uncontrolled anger. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 16. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that once said, if you're not sure if someone's a fool or not, just wait till they open your mouth. Or their mouth. Just wait till they open their mouth. You'll know before long. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Wow. And then Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Again, hey, we can probably all relate to this, can't we? I mean, maybe you can't. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have had to ask for forgiveness from God and from others because of our anger, because of our temper, uncontrolled, unchecked? But you know what the good news is? Listen, there's always good news. Okay, the Bible is like a mirror. The Bible shows us who we are. And the Bible shows us who we are without God. But listen, it also shows us who God is and what He can do. The good news is when you repent of your sin and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us, and we have the Holy Spirit to keep that temper in check and to keep our mouth in check and everything else. But also, this person is foolish in choosing their own path to destruction. They're foolish in choosing their own path to destruction. Four or five verses here because they're so important. Proverbs 5:23. They're foolish in choosing their own path to destruction. Proverbs 5:23. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray, choosing their own path to destruction. Proverbs 10:23. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. Then Proverbs 19:3, as we hear what God's word is saying to us this morning. Proverbs 19:3. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. What a word picture. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets. His heart fights against the Lord. And of course, you've heard Proverbs 14:12. There is a way. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it is destruction. When you choose your own path. And a foolish person, according to God, is a person who's foolish in destroying their own home and family because of their rejection of God, because of their stubbornness, because of their pride. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Foolish son, foolish daughter it could be. And then Proverbs 14:1, that rebellious child, but also not just a rebellious child, but the rebellious adult in the home, the husband, the father, the wife, the mother. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her hands. Wow. I mean, these are words of instruction and wisdom and warning we need to heed, because it affects every part of our life. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, those religious hypocrites, in Matthew chapter 23, what did he call them? He called them fools and blind in their religion, blind in their hypocrisy. The Bible talks about the person who continually all their lives rejects Jesus Christ and rejects God and His Word. In Romans 1:22, we hear these words, Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that whole first chapter of Romans describes not just the Roman culture 2,000 years ago. Go back and read it sometime. It's like reading a description of today's culture, about how people began to worship the creature over the Creator. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools of rejecting Christ. And we know the end of that, as the Bible says, is death and destruction. The person who continually all their lives rejects Jesus Christ only has judgment and eternity in hell waiting for them. Jesus talked about a man in Luke chapter 12, a man that was very wealthy, but all he thought about was himself. All he could think about was gaining more wealth. And so he said to himself one day, it's in Luke chapter 12, verse 19, he said to himself, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We need to heed those words, folks. But the person who repents of their sin and gives their heart and life to Jesus Christ, they have their sins forgiven. They are restored with God, and not just God, but with their fellow man. They have a new heart. They have a new hope. They have a new beginning. They have a new everything. They have a new home in heaven. And not just a new home in heaven one day, but a new life here and now. They're saved, the Bible describes it. They are delivered. That's one of the words the Bible uses to describe salvation, to be delivered from danger, to be delivered from evil, to be delivered from darkness, to be delivered from sin, and saved into God's marvelous light. You know, this past week we saw that powerful, terrible storm rage through Southwest Florida. And I want you to hear me carefully, because I'm not judging any of those people at all. I'm not judging them. I'm not pointing fingers. It's tragic. It's sad. But here's my point. For days they were warned, this is going to be bad. This is going to be destructive. This may be the most powerful, deadly storm we've ever seen. And for whatever reason, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not judging them. It's heartbreaking, heartbreaking. But for whatever reason, many of them chose to stay. And as of this morning, just what they know so far, dozens of people perished. And the sad thing is they didn't have to. But I want to talk to maybe someone in the room right now. Maybe you've heard sermon after sermon, and you've been to church service after church service, and someone has tried to share Jesus Christ with you and the gospel with you, and you've rejected, rejected, rejected. What I'm about to say, I don't take any joy and pleasure in saying, but I have to say it on the authority and the truth of the Word of God. If you continue to go through life rejecting the warning, you too will perish. But you don't have to. Listen, that's the good news. The good news is you don't have to. A fool doesn't believe in God. A fool doesn't believe in hell. A fool doesn't believe in judgment or in accountability to God or in sin and the consequences of sin. What, if you'll let me use the phrase, what does a fool need to believe? Well, if you're still in Luke's gospel, turn to chapter 24. Luke 24. Jesus has been crucified and buried. He's risen from the dead. And on the actual day that he rose from the dead, two of his followers are walking from Jerusalem on the way back to their home village of Emmaus. And as they're walking along and they're brokenhearted, they're grieving, all they know is Jesus has died. And in their minds, hope has died with him. And all of a sudden, a third person walks up, a stranger walks up. It's a great story. And we won't read all the story. I'll just pick it up toward the end. But they're brokenhearted. And it's really kind of funny when you think about it, because just to paraphrase the first part of the story, they're down, they're sad. Jesus walks up and he basically says, what's wrong? I'm sorry, but it's just a little humorous to me because they say to Jesus, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happened? And they're saying this to Jesus. Are you the only one in Jerusalem, man, who doesn't know what's happened the last few days? Let's pick it up with verse 22 of Luke 24. Yes, and they're saying this to Jesus. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I love this part. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And later on, what happened? Their eyes were opened, right? And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he was talking about the word? Wow. A couple other verses as we wrap this up on what a fool believes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. These are both in 1 Corinthians as we wrap this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Isn't that true? Have you ever tried to talk to someone about the Lord and about how Jesus loved you so much that he left heaven and came to this earth and took their place, took your place, took my place on that cross and paid the penalty for our sins? Have you ever had someone just look at you or even say to you, that's just a fairy tale? That's foolish. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Wow. And then later on in chapter 4, Paul just makes this simple statement. In chapter 4, verse 10, he says, we are fools for Christ's sake. We are fools for Christ's sake. Is it foolish to believe that there is a God? No. I think it's more foolish to think that this amazing universe and world and human race and everything on this planet, I think it's more amazing and foolish to believe it all happened by chance. Is it foolish to believe that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Is that foolish? That if we repent of our sins, he will forgive us of our sins. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is it foolish to believe the words of Jesus where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door and asks me to come in, I will come in and fellowship with you forever. Is that foolish? Well then, listen, count me a fool for Christ. Because as the old saying goes, you're either a fool for the devil or you're a fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? Missionary Jim Elliot, many years ago, put it this way, as a young man, when he realized that God was calling him to the mission field. He said, he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. You and I can't keep our own soul. We're not giving it up. We're giving it over to God to gain something we can never lose. Salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ. We're either a fool for the devil or fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? And I hope and pray if you're here this morning, for whatever reason, you've put it off. You've said no to Jesus Christ, said no to God's Holy Spirit working on your heart, that that God's word has just broken through today and you see the need to turn from your sin. You see the need to believe that Jesus Christ loved you so much. He died for you on that cross, that he rose again, and he stands ready to save you. And I realize that most of the people here on a Sunday morning, you've made that choice. You've chosen Jesus Christ. And so let me just say this. All of these warnings from Proverbs, hey, as followers of Jesus Christ, let's keep going back to the book of Proverbs, okay? And gain that wisdom to live our lives by. But also, you may be here today and you may have a good friend or a family member, someone that you care about very much, and you are concerned for their soul because they have yet to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Would you take the next few moments during our time of decision and invitation and pray for that person? Pray for those people. Let's make the most of these next few moments. Pray for those that you know who haven't accepted Christ yet. Pray, asking God to give you a desire fresh and new for his word, that you'll dig in. You'll go back from time and time and read through the Proverbs and ask God just to make them a part of your being, that you'll live out these truths of his word. Or more importantly than anything else, as I said, maybe you need to be the one to give your life to Christ today. Oh, it was so awesome. Last Sunday night, as I shared earlier, when several people looked up at Pastor Velez and myself, indicating that they had just put their faith and trust in Jesus. You can be one of them this morning, right now, if you'll give him your life, give him your heart. Let's bow our heads together. As we pray together, I'll be down here. If you want to come for prayer, if you have questions, listen, we have people who would be more than glad to talk with you. We have men, we have ladies. Ladies, if you want to come for prayer to give your life to Christ, if you have questions, if you're more comfortable talking to a lady, we have some ladies that'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you, but don't put it off. Don't put it off another moment. There's a great song that we use during our invitation time that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I love that line. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. We're talking about foolishness. We're talking about wisdom. Listen, the wisest thing you and I could ever do is to trust Christ to save us. I have decided to follow Jesus. Will you? Will you? I know it's a big step. The devil's going to put fear in your heart. The devil's going to put doubt and questions and skepticism and all kinds of things in your heart. Don't listen to him. The devil says to wait. The devil says to think about it. The devil says to put it off to another day. Over and over, God's word says today, 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 now is the time of salvation. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe, but to those of us who believe, it's the power of God to save. No turning back. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for speaking our hearts, Lord, whether it's for salvation, whether it's to come back to your word and live our lives according to the principles of your word. Lord, whether it's a burden for a lost friend or family member, Lord, just work in our hearts. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. May we respond to your working in each and every one of us. Have your way. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed, let's just stand quietly, reverently, heads bowed in prayer. Maybe you could come. Maybe you need to come. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe Jesus is speaking to your heart to give your life to him right now. You come for prayer. Come for that encouragement. We're here to receive you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.